Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, everybody. Sorry about the slightly delayed start today. Had kids' parent-teacher conferences this morning at the preschool, so everything got pushed back by a couple of hours. We will still, fear not, have two shows today. We'll go back-to-back. Why does my hat look all tipped sideways? I think it might just be the way that the camera's facing me. Maybe my head is tipped sideways. That's not good. Which side is higher? This side is... Oh, that doesn't feel right at all. But that looks straighter now. Glad you guys are enjoying this very, very bad beginning to a show. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today. I am Dan Bespris. This is a SportsEthos.com presentation. Please do take a moment to like, rate, and subscribe as we dive into the news of the day, the news du jour here on Wednesday morning. Of course, we will have our streaming show in the afternoon, as per usual. We'll get you guys situated on your playoff battles. I got more bad news for you on the streaming front. But this show is going to be about recapping the card, recapping player information, injury news. You guys can see Kawhi in the thumbnail for today's episode. He left with back spasms. We got Desmond Bane news, so let's just dive right on in. After, of course, all of you that are watching, listening, whatever, come find me on Twitter at Dan Bespris, D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. I can direct you to all the different directions from there. Discord or Sports Ethos or baseball feed, football feed, basketball feed, whatever, that's all. Over on that side. So from a player news standpoint, and we'll get to Kawhi because we'll hit that one on one of the recaps. But the Memphis Grizzlies, who did play yesterday, I want to actually just start with their ball game if we could, because the Grizzlies are screwy these days. Jake LaRavia, 24 minutes. He ended up with a pretty decent fantasy line, although I don't expect him to go 7-for-7 at the free throw line every day. But the 24 minutes is not high enough. Luke Kennard played well, but he won't play in the back-to-back, almost definitely. Jordan Goodwin came out of the woodwork here, and anytime he starts, we kind of want to get him into our fantasy lineups, but we don't know what he's starting. Santi Aldama, when JJJ sits, is generally playable, although this one he was sort of fringe playable because of the bad field goal percent. John Conchar, someone could tell us he's going to play 30-plus minutes, you'd use him, but we don't know. And then Trey Jameson, who I guess had played for the Wizards, I forgot about that, had a little bit of a, what do you call a semi-revenge game? It doesn't matter. Either way, he just got going. 31 minutes is nice. 24 points is nice on good field goal percent. 2 blocks is nice. But literally, I mean, if he doesn't shoot the crap out of the ball, this is a very empty fantasy line. So at the end of the day, we're staring down the barrel of the same crap with Memphis, which is Jake LaRavia's damn close. Vince Williams, if or when he comes back, is playable, but he's missed a couple now. JJJ, when he plays, is playable, and maybe he goes on the second half of this back-to-back. I don't know. We'll find out in a few hours. Overall, though, I don't know that, like, on the head-to-head side, it's very hard to use any of these guys if they're not in a really prominent scheduling spot. And yes, the back-to-back is useful for some of these dudes, but you kind of almost need more than that. Like, are you going to use a move for a Grizzly for 2 days and then punt? I guess you could. You guys know me, I'm always looking farther down the line. Long streams, things of that nature for head-to-head, and then Roto, you're looking for a guy you could just use against the games cap. So the answer on the Roto side is, who would you use against a games cap? Probably Goodwin when he starts. Definitely Jaren Jackson when he plays. Almost definitely Vince Williams when he plays. And then you get into these other guys. And Laravia is sort of a 50-50, call him a coin flip guy on against a games cap. Luke Kennard, when he starts, is kind of 50-50. It's mostly annoying, though. Aldama, when JJJ sits, is probably like a 60-40 kind of play. And then we got news that Desmond Bain has moved along to 5-on-5, meaning he could return within the week. In what capacity is still a very large dangling question. My guess, and we don't know this for sure, but my guess is based on the fact that Memphis, after tonight, they play Charlotte. They got one game over 4 days. Then they got three next week. They got three the week after that. They don't have a back-to-back until April 5th and 6th. So there isn't like a back-to-back scenario that Desmond Bane's going to have to be avoiding. Does he get back in time for that OKC game? I don't know. Maybe. If he doesn't, does he come back in Sacramento, in Golden State, in San Antonio? One of those games, possibly. But you're going to see, you know, 20 minutes, 22 minutes. There's no reason for him to play every ball game because Memphis is terrible. You're going to see a lot of what's going on with Jaren Jackson, which he'll play sometimes, and he'll probably take a crap ton of shots in that game. But then knowing when he's actually in the lineup is going to be very complicated. So he's not a guy that I'm stashing in head-to-head unless I have an open IL slot. But frankly, at this point, it would take you a roster move that you should be using on streaming if you're in the playoffs. But you need to be in like a bye week right now or a bye week next week, frankly. And then I think I would consider it. But if you're in a battle right this second, you can't pick up a guy who's getting zeros. Because you're going to have to drop somebody alive to pick up Bane to put in an IL slot. And then pick a different guy back up again. So it's a two moves thing to kind of get right back to where you were, almost. I don't know how you do it if you're in a head-to-head battle right now, if you're fighting for the playoffs or you're in the playoffs. If you have a bye, or you have a bye next week, or whatever it is, that's a different universe than you could, because then you're looking all the way down at, you know, March 25th, basically, if your season goes to the very end, which hopefully it doesn't, but some do. Then you're going to get probably, I don't know, six games over the next 2 weeks, and maybe he'll be in the mid-20s by then. That's useful. That's a good fantasy play. But, you know, immediately, you're asking a lot. And we don't even know if he's going to play in every one of those upcoming, like, if he gets back in the Thunder on Saturday, do we know if he's going to play the next four games? That one and then the following three and actually get you a three-game week? At what, 66, 68 minutes if he played in all three of those? 70? It would be barely worth it. It would be worth it. If he played in all those games and he put up like pretty heavy usage numbers in low 20s in minutes as he ramped up, it would be worth it for him because he can put up a bunch of numbers really quick because he's good. But if he doesn't, you're left sort of holding the bag on a very risky move. Roto, obviously. I mean, there was no reason to drop him in Roto to begin with because you have a games cap, and any games cap format, there was sort of no reason to drop him. I'm talking about spots where you're in a games cap, probably a limited number of IL spots. If you have like three IL spots, okay, fine. But again, you got to use a move to get him. I don't know how you justify making a pickup on a guy who's not necessarily going to play. It's a really hard call. I get it. I really do. It's a really hard call. But if you're in a battle, you can't do it right now. The other team in that ballgame, the Wizards, who lost to the tanking Grizzlies. You got a nice one out of Corey Kispert. He's always a stream when he's starting right now. He's been hot, knocking down threes. He didn't do much else in this ballgame, but frankly, you know, five threes on good percentages is good enough. Bilal Coulibaly, we talked about on our streaming show yesterday, as the Wizards had four games in 6 days starting last night. The hope was basically this kind of line, which is a bad field goal percent, but he did enough other stuff to float it. Three threes, five boards, four assists, two steals, one block. That's what you were looking for. You were basically streaming for defensive stats, and hopefully he keeps it up over his next three games this week, because the plan, if you picked up Coulibaly, was not to use him against the Roto games cap, but to hold him through their back-to-back Saturday-Sunday, because then they go into a lighter week next week. Roto, it wasn't even a thing. Bench Poole has cooled off a little bit last couple of ball games. Stick with him. Same with Avdija. Same with Tyus Jones. Stick with those guys. They'll be all right. Kispert is your sort of all formats stream right now. Philly put up 79 points in New York. Knicks got OG Anunoby back, and that certainly helped their cause. But let's talk Philly first. Buddy Hield is coming off the bench now. He is a very soft hold. I'm a little surprised that he's not starting, but I guess they felt like they needed to go a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more defense. I don't know. It's hard to say. Kelly Oubre is in the starting lineup. He's a stream. Tyrese Maxey is obviously a play. Tobias Harris is on one of the worst stretches of his life. I'm hoping that he busts out of it. He's kind of someone you just need to play, although if you really wanted to, Roto, you could sit him until he looks like he's getting a firmer grasp on how to play basketball again. But the question marks, I think, are Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry, and Paul Reed on this team. Reed put up 14-8 with a couple of steals. He's been just barely good enough, despite the rapidly fluctuating role, and I keep kind of going back and forth on how I want to handle this. He's very much a start because he's got 24, 27, 28, 28 minutes over the last four ball games. That's been enough, even though he's been bouncing between the starting lineup and the bench. And over those games, you know, he's been on a blocks tear. He has 10 blocks. He has four steals. Rebounds have been solid. I'm just nervous. And I don't know why I'm so nervous about Reed. I just am. He's been good. I had him. I was very bullish on him when Embiid went down. We waited on him through that weird illness, and he hasn't really shown many signs of, like, truly slowing down. He's top 75 over the last month in 26 minutes. So again, that's really all you need is 26, and he's been getting that starter or reserve. I don't know. I feel worried about the possibility that those minutes could fluctuate more because his role is not set in stone. I don't know why I have this weird worry in my gut. I just keep going into games going, should I use him against the games cap? The answer, like three out of every four nights, is still yes. But there's just something about the way he's being used right now that's making me nervous. I can't even quite put my finger on it, because it doesn't actually make sense. And I was a big Paul Reed proponent. So for a lot of you guys, you're like, damn, why the hell are you flip-flopping here? I don't know. I haven't felt this way about a player in a really long time, where I look at the player and I remain super positive about it. I just don't trust the way that he's being used nightly, even though, despite getting yanked around a little bit, he's still putting up numbers. So by all accounts, I should just say, start Paul Reed and don't worry about that day to day. That would be the easiest call, to take the Danny Green, you know, 5 year ago approach, which is like, okay, yeah, there's going to be a bad one mixed in there, but like, close your eyes. Don't worry about it. Don't worry if he's starting. Don't worry if he's coming off the bench. As long as Joel Embiid is out, Paul Reed should be a start. That is the simple solution. And frankly, it has been the right one so far. That's the first thing we said. But for some reason, last night I was looking at it and I was like, Philly's not scoring at all right now. Something bad is about to happen. I just have this, like, sinking feeling that something bad's about to happen. Anyway, I guess the short answer right now is just keep playing him, because he's been good enough. But be careful, I guess.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kyle Lowry is an assist stream, nothing more than that. That's where I've settled with that one. And then Buddy Hield, He's got to get back over 30 minutes. And now getting blown out and having some very low-scoring games has been not great. Maxey being back is actually going to help Hield because that'll create a little bit of space, even a small sliver of it, compared to what was going on over the previous week. And Maxey will be all right. He started hot, and then he cooled off. Knicks are a very good defensive team. That's why Hield is a hold for me. Even coming off the bench, I want to give him like maybe two or three more ball games to see how this goes. I don't want to be too rash with it because he was putting up some really big numbers, and there's no guarantee that they come back, but there's also no guarantee they don't. On the Knicks side, OG Anunoby came back, but immediately played 29 minutes, which is a Tom Thibodeau minutes cap by all accounts. Josh Hart got up to 39 minutes, 20 points, 19 boards, 10 assists. I think this pretty well answered the question of which guy between Hart and Achiuwa was going to take the hit when OG Anunoby came back. It was Precious. Precious played 24 minutes, 13 and 8 with a couple of blocks. He actually ended up still being playable on the fantasy side, so that was good. But he's probably trending towards a drop as Anunoby's minutes get up into the mid-30s. That'll probably cost Precious another two or three. And, you know, 2021 is definitely not going to be enough. So Hart, Brunson, DiVincenzo, OG, obvious starts. I hate to say it, but I said it last week. I'll say it again. I think Isaiah Hartenstein can be dropped. There's just no indication that this minutes cap is about to come off for him. Mitchell Robinson is almost waiting in the wings now, and they just have more opportunities to go smaller, which sucks because when Hartenstein was playing 30 minutes a game, he was, you know, a fourth rounder or better, but there's no indicator that he's getting back to that. So on we roll. Indiana. Hey, Aaron Nesmith's back, everybody. 15-4 with a steal and a couple of blocks. No Benedict Mathurin to try to take his minutes. There's really no other option that they trust. So Nesmith to the moon. That's it. That's my only thought on Indiana. TJ McConnell continues to be, like, borderline as a bench play. He needed about three more minutes to get there in this ballgame. He didn't get them. I don't think I'm playing him. I know they have back-to-back, so that would sort of make sense. But overall, no. And then over on the OKC side, there was actually, they are worth talking about very briefly, Jalen Williams out. He was questionable leading up to the ballgame, got ruled out about 2-3 hours ahead of time, so pretty close. And based on the fact that the Thunder have a very light schedule coming up here, they play tomorrow, and they play Saturday, but then they're off for 3 days after that. You might see Jalen Williams. I think he probably gets back in, might even be as soon as tomorrow, which that would be music to everyone's ears. We have a lot of Jalen Williams's at Sports Ethos. In the meantime, Gordon Hayward took his spot at 9-4-5. I just don't think he's good anymore. I've been talking about that for 2 years now. Lou Dort got a few extra shots. That's probably the biggest takeaway from the Jalen Williams thing. Josh Giddey did also, but I don't like Josh Giddey's fantasy game. I don't like Lou Dort's fantasy game either, but at least with him taking a few more shots, you might get a couple of threes. I'm not adding anybody in head-to-head because their schedule's not very good. I'm definitely not adding anybody in Roto because these guys are not going to get anywhere near the top 100, but we had to talk about it? Question mark? Houston, first game without Alperen Şengün. Jock Landale, 26 minutes off the bench. They went small to start the game, and they were getting whipped early. Then they sort of pivoted it around and gave Landale a few extra minutes, moved Jabari Smith Jr. back to power forward. What are the takeaways from this game? One, Landale's on my watch list. I don't think I'm adding him after this one. 26 minutes is not quite enough. He had some light foul stuff, and then he came off the bench. Now, if he starts, you sort of set the low watermark for minutes a little bit higher and kind of remedial handicapping. It's like fuzzy math handicapping. If a guy starts, you set the window of minutes played just a bit higher. You come off the bench, you know, this I thought was kind of a best case scenario for him coming off the bench. 26 minutes. If he starts, you're like, all right, yeah, you can see him getting to 26. I just don't see him getting to 30. And I do feel like Landale probably needs 28, 30-ish minutes for me to feel good about him being a consistent performer. But I don't know that for sure. We've seen him in Phoenix last year. He put up some numbers in. He didn't need the full 30. But I think we can probably watch for one more game before making an official call on what to do with Landale. They play tomorrow. They got the Wizards, real juicy defense, which means they could go in any direction they want. They don't have to go big. They don't have to go small. It'll give us a pretty good indicator. The player I would rather have on Houston over Lando, at least for right this moment, is Amen Thompson, who only played 22 and a half minutes. And a bunch of people on Twitter were like, why do you want to pick up Amen Thompson? He was terrible yesterday. Because we just know that when he plays, and I'm assuming these minutes tick up a little bit. I was actually kind of surprised that they were only at 22 and a half. I thought they'd be probably closer to 24, 25. If he gets to 24, 25 minutes, he has a really interesting fantasy game because he's a very big guard. So you can get rebounds, you can get assists, you can get steals, you can get some blocks. You're not going to get many threes, so you know, don't bark down that or bark up that tree. But now it sort of comes down to which of those two guys, Thompson or Landale, can be a guy who steps forward. You know, Freddie VanVleet is going to have to do a ton with no Sengun around. Jabari Smith is going to do more. Jalen Green, which might not be a good thing, is going to have to do more. Dylan Brooks is going to have to do more, but like those two guys have terrible nine-cat game. The guys you're watching are Landale and Thompson. I think Amon's the guy you pick up because if you dropped him, someone else would pick him up. Landale's the guy you watch because I don't think he's going to get at it everywhere after one pretty good, but not really an eye-popping game. So I think that buys you a little bit of time. As far as the Spurs go, Victor Wembanyama got off to a pretty slow start in this game. He closed well and ended up putting an okay line together. Not one of his insane O lines, but, you know, you'll take it. Devin Vassell came back, played 36 minutes, so both those guys seem to be fine. He didn't play well, but he played 36 minutes. Jeremy Sochan is in a little bit of a groove right now. You guys know how I feel about playing guys in grooves. If someone's long-term profile is outside the top 150, I tend to not play them when they go on their heaters because the bad ends up outweighing the good. Even if I catch him on a wave, even if we played Sochan right now and you get two more good games in a row, if you play him for a bad one after that or two bad ones after that, it ends up hurting more than it helped. Trey Jones is kind of the other side of a similar equation, which is a weird way to frame it. Sochan has big upside and absurdly low downside. Jones has, like, neither. There's almost no downside. There's almost no upside. He's very much a member of the Doesn't Matter Club. Happened to get hot for this ball game. He had hit, I don't think he had hit a single three-pointer. Did I read a stat that he hadn't hit a three-pointer in the month of March? And then he hit three in the first quarter? Because the Rockets were daring him. They were like, all right, come on. Can you hit one? And he was like, well, normally no, but today, yeah. Yeah, he went five games without hitting a three-pointer, and then he hit four yesterday. So it's not going to happen again. He's a single-digit scorer who gets you some assists and some steals and a decent field goal percent. He's sort of like a TJ McConnell light, but with slightly more minutes. Doesn't matter, club. Malachi Branham has vanished. Drop in any format because the Spurs schedule got bad after yesterday. And then Champagne played 34 minutes. Didn't see that one coming. Not something I think we need to worry about either. Spurs is the same thing as usual for me. I talked in a circle to say Trey Jones is a doesn't matter guy. Sochan is a guy I don't trust. Wemby and Vassell are the guys you play. That's the short version. Boston, you knew they'd rest some guys in Portland and some guys in Utah, as they did. Sam Hauser was the biggest beneficiary of that back-to-back. Peyton Pritchard was sort of second in line there. Luke Kornet got the start and a decent line in this one. And even Xavier Tillman got into a ball game, but who cares? They'll go back to playing their regulars now that they're off the altitude back-to-back. Discard whatever you took away from those ball games because those are over. For Utah, I'm going to keep it simple for you guys, although Jordan Clarkson just got added to an injury report with some groin soreness, so whether or not he plays is now up in the air for Utah's next ball game. They now, I think the Jazz are about to move into a very heavy stretch, and the reason he's on the injury report is probably because they've got a back-to-back coming up, and he might just skip one of them. It's a 5-7 stretch for the Jazz, so head-to-headers, take note for Friday. Today's not Friday, so you don't have to worry about it yet. But take note for Friday that Jazz guys are about to become very interesting on the streaming side. We'll talk more about that on our streaming second half of our two-a-days right now. For the moment, if healthy, you play Keontae George, you play Jordan Clarkson, while Lauri Markkanen is out. That one is tied to the Markkanen thing. You play Sexton in all cases, Collins in all cases, and I think you play Walker Kessler, who I know didn't do much in this ballgame, but he figures to see 20-ish or a little bit more than that minutes most ball games off the bench, and he can put up top 100 numbers in 18 to 20 minutes. He can go pretty quickly. He can go a lot higher than that, so high floor with upside. Kessler, Collins, Sexton, George, those are everyday guys. Clarkson, while Markkanen is out, is the play there. Minnesota took care of the Clippers. Rudy Gobert left and returned. He got hit in the ribs. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had a crazy hot shooting night, and you're not acting on that. Basically, what happened there is Naz Reid was dealing with some minor injury. Nikhil got hot, and so Naz Reid just did a little bit less. But Naz is the guy you're holding between those two. I'm still not picking up Kyle Anderson. He was a little closer in this one, but he doesn't seem like himself this year. If that changes and he starts to do more, I reserve the right to change my opinion. But right now, he's not doing enough. Minnesota's got a terrible schedule this week, but again, that's something we'll talk about on the second half of our two shows today. As far as the everyday guys, it's Gobert, it's Conley, it's Anthony Edwards, it's Naz Reid. I think Gobert ends up playing. I guess we'll see. If he sits, that's just more for Naz Reid. And probably then enough for slow-mo, by the way. For the Clippers, Kawhi left early with back spasms. We've seen the Clippers when they're without one of their three main stars, and there isn't an obvious pickup. Norman Powell sometimes gets warm, sometimes not enough. Terrence Mann has been a schedule-level play lately. That's it. There's like, I'd love to say there's an obvious pickup here, but there just isn't. And so talking in circles isn't going to change that. Milwaukee got blown out. I think you can pretty much throw out this box score. Everything stays the same as what we've said before, which is that Malik Beasley is your three-point streamer while Chris Middleton is out. Brooke Lopez is cold, but you got to hang on. And that's it. And then for Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox had one of his mega games, almost like he was just getting ready for the Lakers. Big game D Fox. Sabonis was good again. Harrison Barnes had a big one. Don't care. Trey Lyles being out probably forces Barnes into more minutes, but I still don't want to do anything with him. Same story for Kevin Huerter. Don't care. Decent game. Don't care. Malik Monk is the guy you're playing as sort of like the third king in a starting lineup for your fantasy team. And then Keon Ellis filled in for Keegan Murray. He had three steals. That was good. But I don't think the fantasy game is going to translate unless he decides he wants to take 9 or 10 shots, which I don't see coming. Let's do a quick check of the chat room, see if anybody threw some stuff in there. By the way, apologies for starting this thing late. I know the official time was off the mark here. Cam Johnson, likely to be back for the Nets. So this Steve asking, do we want Cam Johnson or Kyle Lowry head-to-head rest of season? Well, it's got to be Cam. I know they're going to bring him along sort of slowly, and Brooklyn's schedule is not good. They go today, and then they're off for 2 days. But his upside is just so far beyond whatever Kyle Lowry can do that this is a pretty clear add. You kind of have to add him in all formats because if you don't, someone else will. Certainly for Roto, you can add him because who cares about the 2 days off. For head-to-head, Brooklyn's schedule gets better again starting on Saturday. So if you can hold on to that. And they three games the rest of this week is pretty similar to what a lot of guys are getting. The question is, you know, how much does he see right upon returning? I would say yes to Cam Johnson in basically every format. And then El Cuddy asks, what about between Cam Johnson and Bruce Brown? Well, in the very near term, it's probably Bruce Brown. Cam Johnson likely surpasses him by his second or third game back, and I don't know if Cam's going to play in back-to-backs. Toronto also has three games left the rest of this week. Certainly, if Quickly and Gary Trent are still out for the Raptors tonight, Bruce Brown's going to get asked to do a lot of stuff, and so then he'll be way better tonight than Cam Johnson. But I would think that by the weekend, you'd probably rather have Cam. Let's see, what have we got here? Derek Lively, Bryce Sensabaugh. Yeah, I'm not a big Sensabaugh guy. I think I'd rather have Derek Lively if I was picking between those two guys. Who do I drop between Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson, and Kawhi Leonard? You're probably dropping Bagley there just because he's not simply as good. In a Roto League with 120 games cap played, how many games should I have played by now? Honest to goodness, I don't know what the exact number is right now. I would say try to be very close to the exact percentage of games the season has eclipsed, which is about 80%. So, you know, down about 160 from that. What you could also do, and you know, what I often do in my Roto Leagues is I'm not looking at the total number of games played. I'm looking at, because Yahoo, if you go to the Yahoo team page on a PC, it'll show you your projected games played at each roster slot if you scroll down. And you basically just want all of those to be very close to dead even right now. We're close enough to the end of the year where you should be making up whatever games played you fell behind. So you want to be pretty close to break even in the Yahoo estimate, which is pretty accurate right now. One league, for instance, let's see, am I pretty close to the break even mark? Yeah, so right now, oh, but this is a league that has an 850. All right, I'll get you guys this number live on air. Stick with me here. Yeah, most of the teams in the other Yahoo Roto League that I'm staring at are like right in, yeah, about 660 right now. 650, 660, somewhere in that neck of the woods, I think is pretty good. I don't think I'd go above 670 right now, but that's your window because you can make it up the rest of the way. Hopefully that answer was helpful. Is Bruno Fernando worth a pickup? Head-to-head, yes, because of the schedule. Roto, no. Derek Lively or Jock Landale? I think I'll go Landale on that one. Yeah, give me Landale. I think he plays more minutes than Lively. Desmond Bain listed as doubtful, by the way. Yeah, that news broke while we've been on air here. Broke about 15 minutes ago. Oh, Oscar Thompson just got ruled out. Boy, he's sick as a dog. Dang. Jaren Jackson, doubtful. Vince Williams, doubtful for the Grizzlies game tonight. So it sounds like JJJ is going to miss another one. Santi Aldama is now questionable. Lamar Stevens is questionable. Well, the Grizzlies, they're going to have nobody left. Well, it's a big Jake Laravia night, I guess. You can probably throw him in your Roto League, too. Yikes, Grizzlies. Yeah, Trey Jameson, that's another one. He's going to have to play 30 minutes, I would think, unless he fouls out in 25. Is Vince Williams a drop head-to-head? Probably. You can't take a what are the one-game week you're looking at here. If he's not playing tonight, Memphis has one game the rest of the way. So you turn a potential one-game week into a three-game week. You have to if you're in a head-to-head league. Who are you choosing between Vince Williams, Jeremy Sochan, and Scoot Henderson? Nine cat. Well, head-to-head, it's probably Scoot because of the schedule and Vince is taking zeros. Roto, it's Vince Williams. Different answers for different situations right now. Good questions today. Some nice strategy stuff dug in there. And we can wrap it up. 30-minute show today. Breezy. Easy breezy. 2 hours or so. 2 hours. No, maybe a little less. I'll try to do it by about 1 o'clock Pacific time. We will get our streaming show going. And I have, you know, it's a hard day to stream, but I have some really intense thoughts on it. So make sure to get with us on that one. And someone in the chat room just asked about the Jazz. I talked about the Jazz right near the very end. So scroll on back and you know, you're not adding anybody right this second. But, you know, depending on who may be in and who may be out for the next ball game, perhaps that changes. But right now, they're still playing kind of some of their usuals. All right, I guess that's it. Okay, thanks for watching, everybody. Appreciate the big viewership, especially over on social these days. That's pretty cool. That's been a nice change, and I did something differently that changed the way Twitter is displaying this thing. But anyway, for everybody out there, go check out our baseball pass. If you have an NBA pass, upgrade to the All Sport. It's actually really big for us right now. If you guys are joining us as a premium member, that's how we really do keep the website afloat. And if you want to keep the podcast afloat, go get some over at manscaped.com. Promo code ETHOS20. Get 20% off and free shipping on your order. That's ETHOS20. New listeners, new viewers, please find me at Dan Vesperus so we can continue to talk over on social. I do a lot of stuff over there. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this show is sort of packaged into these little quantifiable buckets. It's almost like you can refer back to that after you hear the big explanation on the show. You can be like, oh, well, which player was Dan talking about? The players, you can get them listed over there. This is where you come for the actual context, which I believe is extraordinarily important. But important? Screw it. That's got to be the end of the show. All right, I'll see you guys in about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. Stream time after the break. Make sure to subscribe so you get that show too. Bye-bye for now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.